True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Is Nick Costos, the host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sunday from 11 to 1 p.m., leading you to kickoff on the BetMGM network and on the Odyssey app.
Nick, week two. Here we go, buddy.
Nick, what's up?
Hey guys, how we doing today?
We're good.
You're doing okay, aren't you?
Doing awesome. Week one, unfortunately for me, from a betting perspective, was not great with the National Football League. This happens sometimes, and we call it on You Better You Bet. We call it the knife edge, right, where you get to the ends of these games in the NFL, and it either goes your way or it doesn't, right? So I'll give you two examples of what I mean, and I don't mean this to bitch and moan. Like, this happens sometimes. Like, sometimes you lose these, sometimes you win. It generally tends to even out, right? So Atlanta and Seattle, two games that come down to the very end. Who misses the field goal? We don't go to overtime. Seattle, like Brock Purdy, who's injured, throws a pass up for grabs and like should have been intercepted and is caught for a touchdown, so you lose those. Those are like normal, annoying losses. But when you couple that with, I had the over in Eagles-Cowboys on Thursday night, which was, I think, now in the history of the league, it's 172-2, so my loss was one of the two, where a total that closes under 50, where you get more than 40 in the first half. It was 172-1 to the over, and that was 172-2 after the game went under on Thursday night. And then I had the Ravens, which was my favorite bet on Sunday night, and that was teams that run for over 235 yards or more, 235 rushing yards or more, and score at least 40 points were 277-0, like straight up, to win football games, and I was the one in 277-1, betting Baltimore -1. So those two were really annoying, but look, hit the over on Monday night. That looked dead to rights going into the fourth quarter, and they got the three touchdowns from J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. So carrying some positivity here, guys, into week two.
I like it. There you go. We have a game with a pretty big spread, Browns-Ravens. What's the spread now? What's it looking like? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so it's been some interesting movement on this game. Baltimore opened 12.5, and it went down to 10.5, and now we've settled at 11.5. So not like a tremendous move. 10 is the most important number in this range, and so is 13. And we haven't touched either one of those. So just like a bit of jockeying from people that organically, I think, like the Browns, and people that organically like the Baltimore Ravens. My sense here, guys, and I don't have a strong betting opinion on this game, if I had to bet the game, I would bet the Ravens. I think Baltimore is saying at least all the right things following the collapse on Sunday night against Buffalo, that the defense knows it's got to be way better than it was in the closing moments of games. And I don't think you'll see them blow another lead like they did on Sunday night. Now, people will bring up what happened last year, which was Baltimore losing in gut-punch fashion to the Chiefs in the season opener, and then they went home and lost as a big favorite to the Las Vegas Raiders in week two. I don't know that that's going to happen in this particular game. So, just to be clear, I'm not going to bet this game. if I had to bet it, I would bet the Ravens. But just one note, guys, if you'll allow me, on Cleveland. Because you asked me last week, Hannah, like what constitutes a successful regular season for the Browns, right? If they're not going to win a bunch of games, which I don't think they're going to. And what I said was, you want to see a bunch of these young players look really good, right? Like, did Andrew Berry and company, did they hit in this draft, right? Did they get a bunch of young players that can produce right away that you feel good that these guys can be franchise building blocks moving forward? And one game in, I think this is a smashing success. Now, you'd like to see more out of Mason Graham, right, who was the first-round pick, the fifth overall pick. But Carson Schweisinger, to me, looks like an absolute stud at the linebacker position. Harold Fannin, we talked about him last week, right? He looks like a monster in these two tight end sets with Kevin Stefanski, right, and David Njoku. Dylan Sampson looked really good. We haven't seen Quinshon Judkins yet. Maybe he makes his debut this weekend. Like, I think there's a chance that we'll look back on this draft as being a big success for the Cleveland Browns, and if that's the case, I kind of think, like, the regular season's a success no matter what happens in terms of wins and losses.
Just going back to this game a little bit, it's weird because I look at the Ravens, I see they scored a lot of points last week, and the Browns can't get over 16. What do you think about total points in this game?
So the total in the game is sitting at 45. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you guys watched the game last week. Your audience watched the game last week. I think we can all agree that whether it's, you know, Andre Schmidt missing those kicks, right, missing the 36-yarder, missing an extra point. You know, Joe Flacco threw a couple picks, but these are all off the hands of his receivers, or, like, the receivers did let him down in a couple of those spots. Cleveland probably should have scored more. Right, that probably should have happened. And you would imagine, for as well as the Browns defense looked last week against Cincinnati, you know, sacking Joe Burrow on three consecutive plays down by the goal line at one point on their goal line, I don't anticipate them having the same level of success against the Ravens offense. I think the Ravens are a cut above Cincinnati. So if you made me pick, I'd probably look at the over here, mm-hmm. but I don't have a strong betting opinion. I have strong opinions on other games. This one I just think looks right.
What'd you think of the Browns defense? You just mentioned them a little bit against the Bengals. That was a 33-point total in that game. That's a really low total for a high-powered team like Cincinnati. Can the Browns continue to pull off those kind of defensive efforts, Nick, and what would that do for your biz?
I would say probably not, and I don't even really mean that as an insult. It's just, like, statistically unlikely that that's going to keep happening. And you know, like, I do think that at some point, and it didn't manifest itself last week, like, the loss of Martin Emerson is really going to come into play. But look, like, the corners played well. Like, Greg Newsome played well last week. Denzel Ward played well last week. When you don't let Jamar Hayes and Chase and T. Higgins kill you, like, you have to give them credit. Like, Myles Garrett was an absolute monster. I mentioned Schweisinger was really good. The safety were both good. Like, Hickman and Delpit, I thought both played well for the Cleveland Browns. Is that going to continue week over week where this is like a top three or top five defense? It's not outside the realm of possibility because they have good players and obviously a really good defensive coordinator. If I were talking to a Browns fan right now, and I'm sure I am a lot in your audience, I would say you can be optimistic. It probably is not going to look like that every week, like that level of defensive dominance. The Bengals with 7 yards of offense in the second half.
Nick, I do want to switch to college football here for just 1 second. There are a ton of games that have spreads that are like 20 or more. Do you like or dislike those games that have giant spreads?
Well, I think it really, like, it.
It depends on the game, but there's a ton of these games this week.
Yeah, and, like, we see that generally most weeks in college football when you have the haves playing the have-nots. I'll give you, like, one game that I do like. Iowa State is the 14th-ranked team in the country, undefeated to start the year, beat Iowa last weekend in Cy-Hawk. They're a 21-point road favorite at Arkansas State. Now, I will not BS anybody. I can't name one player on Arkansas State.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who coaches the team. I don't even know what the mascot is for Arkansas State, and I know like 99% of the mascots in college football.
They like the Red Hawks.
Well, look,
they used to be the Indians. They used to be the Indians.
That's just a
the
funny
Red thing. Wolves.
Red Storm?
Red Wolves.
Oh, Red Wolves. The Red Wolves.
Okay.
The Red Wolves. Here's what I can tell you guys about this game. I bet Iowa State in the opener against Kansas State. I bet Iowa State last week at an early number that ended up cashing against Iowa. So I like Iowa State a lot. Iowa State's quarterback, Rocco Becht, is awesome. But I look at him as being like, he can stink it up for 3.5 quarters, and then he's nails and he wins games at the very end. I bet Arkansas State was just the thought that I think Iowa State's very likely to win. I don't know if they're going to blow people out this year. So I did take 21 with Arkansas State. Not a huge bet. Again, I can't name name one player on the team, but that's kind of my thought on Iowa State. So that is one big spread that I bet this week in college football.
Nick Costos joining us, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. How about wild card playoffs in the American League? You got anything going there? Because we have a team that's sitting 3.5 games back right now. We think
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Think it's not likely, but we think the numbers say that there's still a chance.
Well, what I'd say about, I think what's fun about the American League this year, right? And you guys know, like I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm absolutely disgusted with my team at this moment, just getting bludgeoned by the Tigers, and they look absolutely terrible, right? The American League is wide open this year. And, like, the Tigers, I guess, like, look like the best team right now. But does anyone think, like, Detroit's just going to, like, waltz to the World Series in the American League?
No.
Like, I think probably. And look what Cleveland did to them last year in the divisional series, getting to the ALCS before, you know, falling to my Yankees, who had Juan Soto last year and don't have Juan Soto this year. So do I know if the Guardians are going to get into the playoffs? I'm in such football mode that I can't give you, like, a really, like, intelligent opinion on that. But what I will say is, if the Guardians are able to get in, then yeah, like, they absolutely have a chance. Like the Blue Jays are in first place in the American League East, and they are not world beaters. The Red Sox are without Roman Anthony. The Yankees look like a little league team half the time. The Tigers are the favorite, but again, once you get past Skubal, how do you feel about the rest of the pitching staff in a big spot? And then you have your three teams in the American League West, right? With the Astros holding a one-game lead on the Mariners, they just swept the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Rangers are 2.5 games back of first place in the American League West. They won the World Series a couple years ago with a great manager in Bruce Bochy, and they feel like a team that if they get into the dance, like, they could absolutely win. So I think if Cleveland's able to get in, then yeah, I think the upside is like to win the American League pennant and then probably lose to the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series. And I do think the Dodgers are the most likely NL team to get there, even though it has not been as good a regular season for them as last year.
I just want to ask you this, Nick. What's the most bizarre thing you've ever bet on?
Well, during COVID, and I actually had inside information to win this bet, which is just like, it's really stupid. Like NBC ran like a virtual race, like a fake race.
Really?
With all the Triple Crown winners, like it's like a fake horse race.
Okay.
And I knew Secretariat was going to win because someone told me, because it was like predetermined in advance, and like I could only bet $100 on it. That was the limit. But like I bet Secretariat in a fake horse race, like 40 years after like the real Secretariat died. That one stands out. I mean, I bet Korean baseball when that first came back. It was really like coming out of COVID when there was nothing to bet on.
Right.
It was like, here's like Russian ping pong and German soccer and, you know, fake horse races. I think that probably takes the cake for me.
Did Secretariat beat Man of War in that?
I think Seattle Slew.
It was Seattle Slew, huh?
Yeah, I think it was Seattle Slew. And maybe American Pharoah was up towards the top as well.
All right, very good. All right, so if you're a Browns fan, don't be overly optimistic, but be smart this weekend.
Well, yeah, like, could they keep it? Look, even if I came on here and I said, I think the Browns are going to win, and I have 100% conviction, like, I'm always honest with people, right? Like, football's a really hard sport to beat, right? To beat the market. Like, I can be wrong about that. I think the Ravens are going to win. If I had to bet the game, I would take the Ravens to cover. But I would just caution, and I know it's tough, because I think this is, we're getting close to, like, the 30-year anniversary of the Browns leaving, right? Or is this that?
This is it.
I know, and I know
it's this
Browns,
weekend. Yes, yes.
And I know Browns fans. I know Browns fans hate their. I totally understand. Like, you're probably going to lose. I don't say that to be a jerk. Like, the Ravens are way better than the Browns, but if I'm a Browns fan and I'm trying to be objective about things, like, can Mason Graham look good in this game? Can Schweisinger continue to look good? If Judkins plays, can he continue to look good? Can Tillman show you a little more? Can Fannin keep looking good? I think this is the key for the Browns moving forward, because they got the two first-round picks next year. The quarterback of the future, I think, is extremely likely to not be on the roster right now. Get everything else right and feel good about the rest of the roster heading into next year, and that is a win.
Nick, thank you very much, buddy.
Thanks, man. Say goodbye.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
You okay with finding, identifying young players for this football team and moving forward, knowing that in several years they hope to be playing in a new stadium?
Yes.
More so moving up the time frame. In another year and a half, you'll have the biggest contract on your books, off your books.
Yep, I know that too. Yep. Am I okay with it?
I mean,
do I have a choice? I mean, look, we're talking about the best.
I don't know that you have a choice.
The best thing that came out of last week's game is we are sitting here evaluating the rookies going, hey, some of these rookies, like Carson Schweisinger, that he said don't look like rookies. And that, you know, Kevin Stefanski said that about Carson, too. And you've got, it looks like Kevin maybe finally, or not Kevin, it looks like Andrew finally hit a draft class that could pay dividends for a long time. And he may have the opportunity to do that again next year, depending on how they play this year. I still think that they should cherish these two first-round picks they have next year and try to figure that out. And if they think that Andrew Berry finally set them in the right direction, and I think Andrew takes an unnecessary hit, although he was a part of the group that traded away those first-round picks for 3 years in a row, he's got the opportunity with some higher-round draft picks to turn it around. I mean, we absolutely, the organization, and Andrew included, ripped away their future when they decided that they thought Deshaun Watson was better than three first-round picks. And so they kind of put themselves in this spot. Now I kind of want to see what he does with them. So far, after 1 week, which is a tiny sample size on this draft class, it seems like, yes, it seems like we're going in the right direction. Without giving a full evaluation.
I can't argue with you on that. I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. So far, I mean, Schweisinger looks like the real deal. Mason Graham looks like he will be the real deal to me.
Fannin looks like he's going to pay off.
Fannin looks like he can play.
Although some people are going to come back and argue that if neither one of these two drafted quarterbacks this year is on the team for a significant amount of time, they're going to say this was a bad draft class.
Is this draft class dependent on one of those quarterbacks actually being good?
Not if they draft a quarterback next year.
I do think that one of these two guys
needs to stick around and be the backup for a couple of years, or they need to be able to flip it and make sure that maybe somebody else somewhere down the line thinks that Gabriel is. I'm trying to think of the Patriot way with the backup quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they always, their backup quarterbacks, no matter what round they're drafted in, always seem to be some kind of a commodity for the rest of the league. Did you see Jacoby Brissett? Did you see any given number two behind Tom Brady?
Very Packer-like, too.
Yeah, and so, you know, they build them up. I think there's more marketing to that than there is actual play on the field. But if that's something they can turn around and spin and maybe, you know, Gabriel or Sanders to another team and get a higher round draft pick than these guys were actually picked at, then maybe it doesn't look so bad moving forward.
Right now, I think, and if Quinshon Judkins plays at some point this season and looks like we think he's going to look, mm-hmm. and Dylan Sampson can build on what was a good first game, especially catching passes but not really running the football.
Right.
That's five guys right there. The two defensive guys at the top of the draft, Judkins, Fannin, Sampson, who I think you give a thumbs up to already. And then if one of the quarterbacks can play a little bit,
yeah,
I think you got something. Cool Ray's in Bedford. Cool Ray.
Cool Ray. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm about to disagree with you guys. I love you guys, man. Listen, we've been rebuilding for 30 years. So, no, I'm not going to give this guy a free pass. We had a five-year stretch where we under Stefanski, what we supposed to have done something with. So, no. But I called because I want to give Baltimore a glimpse into the future. The Browns are what Baltimore are supposed to be. And in Baltimore, if all you got with all that talent is a couple playoff appearances, you're going to be what the Browns are right now. You're going to be the Cleveland Browns of Baltimore. That's it. No more, no less. So look into the mirror, because what we're going through, you guys are will soon be. That's what you are. So, no, I do not think this is going to be a successful draft if Dillon Gabriel is not the starting quarterback. You do not.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Going to the draft. And pick your backup quarterback in the third round. You do not do that. That is a starting position that is supposed to be. No, let's not play this game, guys. You guys are much smarter than that. You guys got way more credentials than that. Don't sell that to the Cleveland Browns fans. Don't do that. No.
Cool, Ray. One thing I just asked Andy, does this draft have to have one of these quarterbacks hit to be a success? And it makes me think what you just said is accurate. And it's this to me. Third round is a weird round to take a quarterback in, to me, because it's in no man's land. If you draft a quarterback in the first round, he's going to start. If you draft him in the second, good chance he's going to start at some point. If you draft him in the third, you think, well, is that starter territory or is that backup territory? Because you can get backups in the fifth and sixth and seventh.
You get your backup in free agency. Offensive tackle.
Yeah, third round to me for a quarterback is just sitting there in the middle. And it's tough to have expectations one way or the other for me. So I thought it was a weird place to take a quarterback. I really do. I agree with you, Corey.
So Baltimore, when y'all see them Baltimore fans, y'all see this. And I just always said this about Baltimore, and I said this on y'all show particularly. It's something about Lamar or something about that coach. It's just when the big moment's there, one of those two just doesn't have that killer instinct. And when you look at all those comeback victories that he done blown and all those playoffs, it's just one of those two just don't have that switch. And whenever one of those two don't have it, has to go.
All right, Cool Ray. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Cool Ray.
Mark is in Cleveland. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're better than your phone.
Say, what do you think? How do you think Baltimore would feel if they went to play Indianapolis and Indianapolis was having a big celebration about when they stole the Colts from Baltimore?
Or maybe they did.
On the same day.
Oh, they'd be upset. They get it. Like I said, we actually had that part of that conversation on that.
Baltimore
radio
fans
this
wouldn't
morning.
Care at all now because they've had a team
that's,
for 30
years. That's not what they said this morning on Baltimore radio when I was talking to them. He said there are still a lot of fans in Baltimore upset about the Colts getting ripped off in the middle of the night and that they do have some understanding and some I don't know how many fans care. I'm sure a ton of them turn the page, and anybody who's probably under 40 doesn't care anyway because all they've known is the Ravens in their lifetime. as well. Maybe maybe 35. So yeah, so it's just like, you know, the best justice for this, the best medicine would be if the Browns won this week in Baltimore. I think the problem is more so, like, we're not going to see a lot of it. So who's got the game this week? I'm assuming it's CBS, right?
I don't know.
I think CBS has the game. Yeah, to be honest with you, this is on CBS. Like, if CBS is going to keep running it, coming back from break all the time, all the great, glorious things that have ever happened in Ravens history, then, you know, CBS is just as accountable as the marketing department as Baltimore. CBS should stay off, should lay off it. They should know who their audience is. I can understand maybe at some point if they've got all their players lined up and they want to show one shot of that, that's fine. I get it. But if they do it nonstop throughout the game and they talk about it throughout the game, then shame on, you know, let me make sure CBS has the game before I start ripping them.
But, CBS has the game.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Go ahead, rip him now, Andy.
No, I'm just saying, don't, I mean, blame CBS. Blame whoever's producing the game for CBS if they feel the need to keep reiterating the 30th anniversary of the Ravens. That's CBS, then. That's beyond that. The Ravens have the right to do this. It's their first home game. I get all that. Is it in poor taste? Yeah, we think it's in poor taste here. But the thing that's going to aggravate you the most is if CBS continues to show and highlight the fact that this is their 30th. 100% on whoever is producing the show. Jeff, would you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to be mad at anybody, if CBS chooses to rub it in our faces all game long, it's CBS's issue at that point. So
I just wish we'd all knock that chip off our shoulder and move along.
Yeah, well,
we have a team, and we've had one for 25 years.
I'm never going to get over it because we had a fan base that supported the team with sellouts, and there's no reason in the world they should have moved in the first place.
One guy owned the team, one guy moved the team.
Again, I don't blame fans, I have your back on this. I'm just telling you.
We all have Browns fans' backs.
One guy moved the team.
One guy moved the team.
I think it was in poor taste that Baltimore
decided. The guy who helped them then owned the Browns.
Okay. I think it was in poor taste that Baltimore decided to do this the first week of the season. I'm not backing off on that. They could have waited till week two. And Browns fans, like, I hear you and I'm with you. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and I'm dead set against you because they're gonna run something on the video board. Whippy do.
That's not what it is. It's not just
their butts,
a video
man. Go win a football game.
We can agree on that, Jeff. Go out there and whip their butts, and let's not have to worry about it.
My point is,
blame CBS. If it's
right here on the fan. Now you're going after TV networks. I'm Andy Baskin. Who's next? Who's next? They haven't done anything yet.
You act like you've never worked a game before.
They haven't done anything yet.
I know, and that's why
you're
telling
you. You're already taking them on.
Oh, come on.
I'm Andy Baskin. You might get in my way. I'm going to stomp on you early.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Have no feel for the fans.
I have none. Absolutely none.
Unbelievable. I can't wait for that.
The Browns try and go get this game against Baltimore.
Let's go get win number one, can we? Just so we could all kind of chill on this whole Ravens thing. It has dug up some memories of the past, though.
That happens every time they play them, I think.
Today it seems more this year than it has the last couple of years.
Well, it's because of the 30th anniversary thing.
Yeah, that's true.
That Baltimore's digging up. Marcus is in Aurora. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. I'll take the 11.5, whatever the number is for Sunday. But I just wanted to talk about the draft this year. Now, you got Judkins, you got Schlesinger, you got Mason Graham, and you got Fannin. So four of your first five pick. Oh, and Dylan Sampson also. So these guys look like, especially the first three guys, look like 5-year starters, right?
Through one game, I think they did a nice job, Marcus, yeah.
Yeah, and they look like they're good football players. So, we know about the Browns and the third round picks for God knows why. The top 100 pick never works out for the Browns. But somebody needs to explain to me how that is not a good draft. I don't care if the quarterbacks work out or not.
People will use that against Andrew Berry down the road. If one of these, they'll be like, we wasted two picks. But you do realize people will do that, right, Marcus? We're on the same page.
Yeah, it makes no sense because
I agree.
These guys he drafted are on the field, and they look pretty good after 1 week, and I don't believe there's any reason that their play should tail off. So I think it's the best draft he had. And, you know, you got to count Judkins, too. So, I mean, this is a home run draft for the Browns as far as I'm concerned.
Man, I hope you're right. I think we all hope you're right.
Marcus,
thank you, Marcus.
Thank you very much. I agree. So far, and again, really small sample size, but Schlesinger played well in the preseason. He looked good in game one. He did what he's supposed to do. And then some, I thought. I think Mason Graham's going to be more than just fine. I think he's going to be good. Samson looks like a weapon on offense who can be put to use. How big of a weapon? We don't know. Fannin, same thing. I'm not going to put Harold Fannin in the Hall of Fame yet, even though he's, you know, doesn't need hotel rooms for the family to come over. But he's looked good so far.
Maybe they should just get an RV to bring it up from Stark County, right?
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. And Judkins, we'll see. Hopefully he's out there and he's as good as we think he's going to be. I do think, though, and never really thought of it too much until we discussed it last segment, and Cool Ray brought it up. Third round is a weird round to take a quarterback in. Because you can't expect a third-round quarterback to be your starting quarterback.
No, we expect third-rounders here in Cleveland to be busts at wide receiver.
Yeah, you get 2 years, and then you're out. Hopefully that's not the case.
Cedric, man, you got to break the trade,
you got this,
man.
Buddy. You got this.
We got to get it up back on the rails.
I've mentioned it like Cedric.
You either need to be really fast and can't catch, or you need to be a route runner who also kind of can't catch.
And then, please, if anyone wants to talk about Isaiah Mond, he should have been a second-round pick. Don't burden him with saying he should have been.
Put the third round on his shoulders.
Don't say he should have been a third-round
pick. No, he was not a pick, so it's okay.
It's even better, yeah.
Had they taken him in the third, oh, my God.
Is there a team that could have worse luck with wide receivers in the third round than this team?
Oh, I'm sure there might be one. Ugh. Just don't ask me where.
Yeah, I know.
Roosevelt's in Cleveland. Roosevelt.
They call you Rosie, don't they? Anybody call you Rosie?
They call me RJ. You know, I'm the guy that was with James Brown.
How I know. I just want to make sure we're calling you Rosie.
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
We're
y'all
good. Right? We're good. I saw some of James Brown the other day, and I was thinking of you. I got to think about it.
I feel good.
I think about him every day. Mm. Listen, I want to tell you, the Browns are going to put a beat down on these people.
Go.
And they're going to do it for the fans.
Go. Oh, I wish you were right.
You know, and that's just the way it's going to be. Come on, we got to get our get back at some point in time. So this, why not? They're trying to celebrate taking our team, so we might as well take it to the team. You know?
Do you think the guys get it, Roosevelt? I don't think the guys get it. I don't care what Kevin.
They're too young. It's human nature. They're too young.
I can't get mad at them.
Even with all of the animosity that's going on, I think they get it. It's for the fans. That's why I say it's for the fans.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I don't think so. I can't get mad at him for not.
Let's look at it this way. You remember what Joe Flacco said yesterday? Joe was talking about, when I think of this matchup, I don't think of that.
Sure, none of them do.
Well, guess what? It's a long time ago, in theory. We know Joe Flacco is one of the older players in the NFL. Do we not?
Yes.
He's 40 years old.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco was 10. When the Browns moved to Baltimore. So that's why you can't expect the players to think this is for Cleveland. They're trying to do it for themselves. They're trying to do it for the team. They're trying to do it for the fan base. But that's because they want the fan base to celebrate wins. The whole Baltimore thing is a little much, I think, in that situation. Jerry Jeudy spoke with the media yesterday. Now, remember, we've talked about six plays, Andy, in the mm-hmm. Bengal game that may have cost the Browns that football game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you execute any one of those six plays, you might win the football game. There were the drops by Harold Fannin on 3rd and 5 and then Jeudy on 4th and 5. There was the tipped ball up by Jerry Jeudy that was intercepted. The tipped ball up by Cedric Tillman that was intercepted. And then the two missed kicks by Andre Schmidt. So Jerry met with the media yesterday, and he was asked about the Baltimore defense and the defensive backs in particular, and Jerry Jeudy had this to say.
Baltimore secondary, a lot of notable names back there. Just what are the challenges that group presents to you guys as a receiver?
No challenges.
No challenges from the Baltimore defensive backfield, which I'm sure is up in the Baltimore defensive backfield room right now. If you're looking for a little something there.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to probably say.
Probably shouldn't have said that.
Wait a minute. Is my inner monologue coming out, or is this? We respect them. We think they're really good. End of story, man.
Let's be fair here, okay? Mm-hmm. We want guys to say stuff.
Oh, I know.
And then when we do, everybody's like, maybe shouldn't have said that. Honestly, Jerry Jeudy, nice job, man. You talked a little smack. Then again, you. were involved in two of the six plays that might have cost your team the game last week.
Yeah. So
just a little food for thought there, Andy.
Why would he do that?
I don't know.
Nah, maybe he's just being honest.
Maybe he's being honest.
In his world, he's honest. He's being honest. Nah, nothing to worry about.
I would think if you were a wide receiver, you might want a defensive back to be overly fired up.
Okay, why?
Because then maybe they do things might that are out of you? Character and overplay you.
Take yeah. a penalty?
Either overplay you or take a chance at an interception that they shouldn't take, leaving you open, running 75 yards for a touchdown. And then you can say,
see ya.
No concern. Yeah.
What is the value of smack talking? I mean, it's some of the greatest in the game have done Michael Jordan, right? Larry Bird. I mean, we're just talking about basketball alone. I don't know. Are there a lot of baseball smack talkers I'm trying to think of? I don't know. I'm just going through the games. But we always hear about it with wide receivers and defensive backs. They're forever talking. Like the linemen,
you know why they are?
The linemen barely say anything to each other. At least that's the way we perceive it to be.
You know why? Because the linemen get into fights on every play.
Yeah, that's true.
Wide receivers are like, hey, I'm running down the field. Defensive backs are like, hey, I'm running with you.
So you're saying this is bullpen theory,
okay,
right?
Okay, let's go. Yeah.
This is bullpen theory. Okay. In case you're wondering what bullpen theory is, why do relievers come flying out of the bullpen when there's a fight in the infield? Most of them are out of gas by the time they hit the dirt.
And the fight's over by the time they get there.
And if they're going to, why wouldn't they just fight in the bullpens? Why wouldn't they fight in the outfield? Like, I don't understand that.
I'll never
understand that.
Wide receivers and corners, I think, are susceptible to big plays and big hits, especially wide receivers.
Right.
I mean, you're defenseless. But on most plays, hey, we're running the ball. I'm going to just stand in front of you so you can't run over there. Okay, no need to hit big. But they talk like crazy, don't they?
I mean, at some point, you got to believe a wide receiver who's probably been open after running downfield after doing, I don't know, three or four 40-yard sprints inside of a minute or a minute and a half. Right?
Isaiah Bond, welcome to game two.
And then you turn around and you look at the defensive back who's lined up against you, who's probably talking smack. I'd be like, hey, man, look, they're not throwing the ball to me on this play. Just cover me. We're going to chill on this play, okay? We're going to take a little
what
breather.
What did you do with the hockey player in Andy
Baskin? We need a little breather
That's
on this play.
That's not hockey, Andy.
No, I'm just saying, don't you think that happens every once in a while?
No.
Oh, come on. Every once in a while, but a guy goes, man.
You know what, though?
They're not supposed to come to me on this play.
Don't you hate it when you look at wide screen TV stuff? Mm-hmm. If they lined up wide and the camera angle showing the wide receivers, and as soon as the ball is snapped, the wide receivers like take one step and then kind of stop.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, great.
Oh, the defensive back's like, got to break on that one.
Don't have to do anything. We'll just stand here and let those guys hit.
I guarantee. Next time we have a defensive back out on the show or a wide receiver, we got to ask him that question.
As opposed to a running back who gets hit on most every play.
Yeah, I would say if it's a wide receiver, we'll be like, hey, do you ever have a defensive back on the other side? You go, hey, man, we're running up and down this field, man. We better chill. Just let me know when I can take a break on one play. One play.
Dixon Dayton. Hi, Dick.
Hey.
Hey, Jeff and Andy. How are you?
Hi, Dick.
Just a fabulous midweek day here.
I want to say something.
Good.
I was really impressed, Jeff and Andy, last week, the defense and the offense, but the mistake and the kicker just disappointed me, but I thought they showed some signs of wisdom. And I think this week, if they play right, if the offense is good, you know, I'm optimistic. I think they could win this game by a field goal. And I look forward to talking to you and Jeff on
Are you saying we're making one or they're missing one?
I think we could make it. And I say we signed that guy you were talking about this week. I mean,
you know Moody?
I think... Yeah, I think he would be an ant, but I was a little disappointed, but I think there's hope down here, guys.
All right, we'll take
Dick,
it.
Thank
All
you
right.
very much. We appreciate that, buddy.
Hope. What about hope?
Hope is a good thing. Sometimes it's the best of things, and no good thing ever dies.
There you go. Thank you.
I saw Morgan Freeman saying just the opposite when he was eating dinner with Andy Dufresne last night after Andy got out of the hole, easiest 2 weeks he ever did.
And who won that war? of words.
Well, Andy had a bad boat.
Yeah, but his friend met him on the boat because of hope and the fact that Red had hope that he would see his friend once again.
Hey, say Wataneo. Let's go.
Say Wataneo.
What was that rock doing in that field?
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.